Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
The man's got guts. He's got oranges the size of beach balls.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say. Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to a Friday. That means a Reardon Roundtable. Let's first say hello to Sue Thomas as she gets comfortable here on a Friday afternoon. It's sunny. It's going to warm up this weekend, so that might be good news for the ride home.
It's fantastic news.
Yes. Hi. We will keep people posted. Jane Duker, haven't seen you in a couple weeks. I was off last week. How are you?
Great.
Good to see you. You're all fired up about a lot of things.
Oh,
as
of course,
the
I always am.
Entire panel is. Donna Berenger is pinch hitting this afternoon. John Gaskin wasn't feeling too well. Donna is a state rep, and she's running for comptroller of the city of St. Louis. Is that correct? Can we
that
say
is
that
correct.
That is true? How are you, Donna Berenger?
I am crazy, but I'm good.
Former state senator John Lamping, good friend, my election compadre, is with us. I haven't seen you in a while, John. How are you? Happy New Year. Wait. That was the host screwing up again. I just asked which microphones everyone's on. There we go. How are you, John?
I'm good. I think Gaskin heard I was going to be on. He
You think is that what happened? Well, Lamping, let me start with you. There's so much. I was kind of joking online and even with Jane yesterday. How are we going to fill the time for the roundtable? Because we do have a lot to cover.
About.
And we're going to get to, look, there's some new videos out today of the mayor of St. Louis, which are immensely entertaining. We'll get to that. All the state control stuff. Jane spent a lot of time in Jeff City this week. But let me just start with the new administration, John. I mean, so much has happened even since Monday. The new sheriff is in town. It was really funny last night. I drove home. I'm sampling CNN a lot more this week just because I wanted to see what they were doing. And Erin Burnett, she's just so sad about all this stuff that the president's actually doing the things that he said he was going to do. And they seem very confused on the immigration front, which you think that that would sort of settle in at this point since 80% of the country believes in what Trump's doing right now. So what do you think of the start so far?
It's an amazing, what's it been, like 3 or 4 months he's been in office now? It's actually been 3 or 4 days,
right.
Obviously. And it
seems
just,
that way.
It's funny. From the first day to like the last 2 hours ago, I mean, today he's in North Carolina, he's in LA, now he's going to be in Vegas, and yesterday he gave a speech at Davos. I mean, he's doing so much. Now, here's the thing that it's important to understand, and he was in office, having never been in office. He was out of office for 4 years, and when you talk to legislators who have spent any time in any office, but now they're out of office, they would say to you, honestly, you know, if I knew what I knew now, then I would have behaved very, very differently. And it's very rare that you actually go back to the office in which you once held. And so he is such a better, he's in such better position to do what he's doing, having not been in office all these years. You know, the amount of information, legislation, executive orders, ideas, concepts, people getting fired, people getting arrested, all that stuff has been months and months and months in planning. He's surrounded by phenomenal people, and it's just so exhausting to watch him from the first thing in the morning to the end of the day, he's out implementing his ideas, doing what he said he's going to do, talking to the press nonstop. I mean, he has talked to the press more this week than Biden talked to
anybody. That has been amazing. I mean, no matter what you guys think of him, he's opening up for questions all the time. Now, there are things, you know, one of the things I want to know, and we'll get to the California fires, is really what is the truth. He's making some allegations about the water out there. Gavin Newsom, he's so sleazy and slick. He says, no, that's not true. But he's going to meet Trump on the tarmac. He did have a great meeting with people, Hurricane Helene victims in North Carolina, on his way to California to see. And look, this is an area where I think the federal government certainly does have a role, but he's talking about conditions. But Jane, let me go back to Monday. I missed some of this because I was out on Monday, but the whole, let me cover Elon and the Nazi salute. You don't think he was doing a Nazi salute, Elon Musk, do you?
I think he's on the spectrum.
Well, he is. No, you know? That's not even debatable.
I mean, right. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to assign an intent, I think. I mean, I think it's bad. It's, you know what, it's bad form, but do I think he was out there trying to, you know, no, but I, and you know, but people have really like gone nuts.
Oh, they've gone nuts about that.
And I'm like, guys, this is really like not even something we should be talking about. What I was more interested by was that he came out. I forgot there was a program or something that he came out and, you know, he talked very negatively about a program that the president.
Oh, well, you're talking about what so a couple of days ago, Trump had a news conference. I was on the air when he did it. He had some of the tech giants there, including Sam Altman from here in St. Louis. And they had, what was it, a $500 billion investment for AI.
Yeah.
So Elon immediately throws cold water on that. To your point, it's going to be interesting here because are two big people
ahead.
In the room.
Right.
And it's Vivek's kind of already been shoved to the side a little bit, John, right?
Yeah, well, it's a different Trump. So Trump's like, okay, fine. You know,
Well, the smart thing was that was the smartest thing he did was just let it roll off your shoulder. It doesn't matter. Don't get off your plan
with the you know the citizenship. What's it called?
Birthright citizenship.
So that got it was a court out in the Ninth Circuit. You know, stopped it. He's like, fine, we'll just go to the next court.
Well, they knew that was going to happen.
But
but he didn't go all over Twitter and act like a fool.
Right. That's my point.
That
that's
is
the
different.
Difference.
Yes. No, there is a difference.
And I will
You're
tell
right.
you. I mean, I think it matters. 1,000,000% is that he's out there doing things instead of sitting on Twitter, you know, gnarling at his enemies. Yeah. I mean, I thought, oh, God, here we go. Here we go. He's going to do some liberal courts and let's shut down the courts. Let's, you know, he'll say something way out there and stupid. And it's like he didn't. And I was like, okay, that shows maturity.
I went out there and I looked for something. And there wasn't
I thought for sure he was going to go after the court. I'm like, here we go. Yep. We're on the courts and we got to go through this again. And
he campaigned nonstop. The last 50 days campaigned every single day.
Maybe they took his phone away.
You know, my understanding is last weekend he was awake for 72 straight hours. There are so many different areas in which he's going. Like the speech yesterday in Davos wasn't covered as much as it should have been covered. Not only was it a phenomenal 20-minute speech, it was 20 minutes of question and answer with the top CEOs in the world, and he slapped them all down. Just said climate. He called climate the number one thing for Davos is climate change. He said climate change is a hoax. It's a scam. He just threw it right to their faces, you know. And he does that, and then 2 hours later, he's some other part of the country giving another speech and another topic, another idea. And he's surrounded with ideas. And he's surrounded with people with the capacity to push those ideas forward. And, you know, everything he's doing so far, obviously, is coming out of his office. Remains to be seen what comes out of the legislature. But, I mean, no one has had a better first 5 days of their administration than this guy just had.
There's been a lot of work, and they're not wasting any time whatsoever. And on the immigration front, Donna, one of the things that's confusing to me, there seem to be a lot of people on your side of the equation that still kind of don't get this. J.B. Pritzker is being very defiant. There's a question about, look, everyone seems to agree, they've had to have been pushed on this, but they seem to agree, even mayors in cities like Boston, perhaps, that if you're a bad criminal, if you're a bad hombre, yeah, we want you sent back. But, oh my gosh, what if the bad hombre is in a room with other people who aren't so bad, but they're here, you know, illegally? Well, people are shocked that maybe ICE is going to enforce the immigration laws against those people, too. Why would you expect otherwise? That's what I don't understand. If people are breaking the law, whether it's to get into this country or whether it's to get into this country and then they do more to break the law, they're breaking the law. I'm not saying we round up every person in the country. It's not even physically possible. But you know, there seems to be a lot of emphasis on the poor, innocent immigrants who just are coming here to make a better life for themselves. And we all recognize that, but not the American taxpayers who have been shouting from the rooftops, hey, what about us? What about us?
I was reading over and over about the birthright and what the court said. And so I think what I did not realize, it had to do with if you're on the soil here and you're not an American citizen and you have a child, then they're automatically a U.S. citizen. But they said it never mentioned if you're not here legally in the United States.
Well, that's the nuance of the case, right? That's the constitutional nuance. There's no doubt that it's not constitutional because the 14th Amendment pretty much spells it out. It wasn't a shock that the judge said that.
But it also made me go back into my own ancestry. And people don't realize that when the Irish came, there was no, they just came across the border. But they only gave citizenship to the men when mine came. And the only reason they would not give women citizenship is because we had no right to vote, so they didn't need us. So I always say to people, my great grandmothers, the matriarchals, never received their citizenship. So were they here illegally the whole time?
Well, I mean, it's going to end up in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's never weighed in on the 14th Amendment, this aspect of it. It'll ultimately get there. Trump knows it'll ultimately get there, and we can look forward to. We really do need clarity. It's never been clarified. It was by executive order.
Well, and I also think that, like, wake up, okay? Like, St. Louis is a sanctuary city. Well, that comes with consequences now. It was easy when people were enforcing the law, but now you're being told that the law is going to be enforced. And yes, you're right. They can't round up everybody. They do need to get rid of the criminals. I feel strongly about getting rid of the criminals. You don't get to stay here if you're a criminal. And, you know.
Well, you saw the guy shot. And so this is another thing with you guys probably haven't seen this. So John Price, did you see the report from the guy that was screaming, thanking Obama and
Biden? Haitian.
The Haitian guy, who, by the way, has 17 different arrests. They round him up. He's apoplectic that he's getting sent home, even though he's a criminal. But he's thanking Obama and Biden for letting him, you know, have a life here. No, we don't want you here. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
And so I hope that these, you know, the local mayors are smart enough to know this is going to happen. And look, we're not rounding up everybody. But as I always maintain, that if you enforce the law in front of people, it tends to deter people from breaking the law.
Yes, guess what, Jane? That's exactly what's happening
now. So
we have Marines at our border is actually under control right now, John, for the first time in how long? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've actually seized control of the border.
It's amazing the country survived. I mean, the country was going to survive this, but on the very first day that they went and arrested violent criminals, it was 580 people they arrested in one 12-hour
period. By the way, where did they send them? I am curious. Yeah. Where did they go?
They're in detention, and they're in detention, and they're going to be loaded onto military planes.
There were two flights.
Where are they going?
They're going back
Venezuela.
To where they came from.
Last night, flights went to Venezuela.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they just, like, drop off a plane and say, get out, and then that's it.
I'm not sure the exact protocol.
No, I was because I'm like, where? So are they going to, know, go to Haiti and drop this guy off, drop him out of a plane, whatever?
The Biden administration created a travel app. I saw that one of the violent criminals came in on the app.
Yeah, of course.
So he pressed the button.
That was
on
shut
the
down
app.
First thing Monday.
It was like they made all the arrangements for him, and he flew in 2023, and he raped some 12-year-old girl. Good thing we had the travel. I mean, the Democrats. The right move for Democrats right now, and I think this is what's happening, is they're just being very quiet. I think they're filibustering these appointments to the Senate very smart because they have nothing to say. There's no like what Trump is exposing are things that are 70-80% ideas. And there's a long time between now when elections take place, and the Democrats are smart just to sit and watch it all happen. And
well,
see
it
if
is
make
smart.
Some mistakes.
At least they're not. Well, and this is the thing. Like, you know, don't go for these 5% issues. Like, nobody wants to hear about that. And so I am glad that, like, for right now, the Democrats are, like you said, they should let them govern. You really ought not be dogging somebody until you see what they do. And then we argue about the issues, and we need to come up with plans that protect the people we care about, the middle class, the working class.
It would be nice to see, look, this California thing, I think, presents opportunities here. And I was watching Gavin Newsom last night in a live news conference because I've been kind of addicted to some of the coverage, and Fox has a feed where I can watch the L.A. stations. And I'm not going to say that he was bending the knee last night, but he's very aware that he's going to need help from Trump and the federal government. Now, he seems to think, and I don't know the truth on this, I really don't. Trump's making this allegation that they weren't letting the water flow. Newsom's saying that has nothing to do with the reservoirs, so there's a disagreement on that. But I do think that you're going to find, and I'd like to see, John Fetterman's a good example of this right now. He voted for, like, if you're not voting for the Lake and Riley Act, this is part of the problem, right? There is common sense that exists on your side. It would be nice because I think people want to see things done for some Democrats to come over and say, let's help the people in North Carolina. Let's help the people in California.
Helping North Carolina is a no-brainer. I did not like that the president, was talking about whether he was going to cut off aid to the people in California. We don't do that. Okay.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's what he's saying.
What he's doing is he's going to cut off aid. The federal government has leverage. I mean, it's remarkable to me, like in North Carolina, the people in North Carolina, 127 days ago, the flood
occurred.
They've been waiting. And FEMA told them they ran out of money. So Trump said, fine, we're taking $2 billion. It's been earmarked for illegal immigrant resettling, illegal immigrants, and we're going to give it to FEMA. So in one stroke of the pen, $2 billion floats to North Carolina. That's how much leverage the executive branch has. Same thing's going to happen in California. He's going to say, look, we're going to be here for you. We're going to give you the money that you need. But we're not going to give it to you unless we see some changes to wildfire protection. What's amazing is that when he was in office, there are so many videos of Trump out in California next to a smoldering forest explaining what needs to be done that you're not doing, manager forest, you know, that kind of stuff. And they never happened. But the one thing that Trump understands better than anything in his life, he understands leverage. You see it in his foreign policy negotiations. You'll see it in his state-by-state negotiations. And he's got all leverage in the world.
He's got a lot of leverage right now.
And he's well-rested, and he understands how this whole thing is played, and it's been brilliant.
That's John Lamping, former state senator, state rep Donna Behringer's here, Jane Duker. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. We still have two more segments to go.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Friday afternoon, Jane Duker on the panel. She's going to hang with us in the 4 o'clock hour as we visit with Paul Hall on entertainment and Cusimano as well. We have Sue's News right after the top of the hour. Former State Senator John Lamping is here and State Rep Donna Behringer. Hey, there's a new message from the mayor of St. Louis today. Our fearless leader, Tashara Jones, has a new video message on the social media platforms. Here it is.
We've seen the photos of overflowing dumpsters, and we're working overtime to catch up. Over the next several days, you'll see city refuse crews out doing a blitz of the entire city of St. Louis, working to pick up as much trash as possible.
Oh my God, she's already? So embarrassing. Yeah, it's only been 3 weeks late, right?
We're expecting above freezing temperatures for the next few days and even warmer temperatures next week, helping to melt several inches of ice that are still in some parts of the city.
I almost want to let Sue kind of handle this segment.
Oh because my God.
Because you certainly would weigh in, right?
I mean, give me a break. It's 2.5 weeks later, the alleys are still packed with ice. And I've made this comparison before. It's like being at Six Flags with that old-timey car, and it's one metal thing. And once you drive down it, you can't actually steer. You're just in ice ruts.
I love that
analogy. Wherever they go, that's where your vehicle is going. Yes.
Which are worse than the regular potholes.
You can barely back into your own garage, and it's nearly impossible to park on the side of the street. It is inexcusable.
And the dumpsters are overflowing, right?
Yeah, they got to mine, but it's random. Donna was in here last week. Tell us about there was a Mayor Slay plan and how this was handled. What happened to that?
Okay, so
they fired the when
I was when I was an alderman, the protocol is that they gave you a map. Every alderman had a map of their ward, and it was color coded. And there was primary, secondary, and then we can't get to them. And so all of the primaries were shoveled, and then treated were the secondaries. Then the rule was you had to be within 2 blocks of where you got to a street that was completely shoveled. And if you didn't, you called the streets department. They'd pick up the phone, and they would come out and do it. And our own street, the head of streets back then, he drove a snowplow along with his men, and they would work
good
night
for him.
And day.
Right.
There was no such thing as, well, we're going home because it's late.
Right.
Sorry.
I mean,
thank you, Sue.
It's
well,
insane.
I found out one other thing recently. I found out that Mayor Slay actually required every department head and anyone that worked for him had to get in their vehicle and drive their neighborhood and had to report back to his office
there you
how
go.
The streets
it.
Looked.
You're talking about
That's
leadership.
Awesome.
We don't want anything
oversight?
Like that, Donna. Why would
well,
we want that?
You know what, though? He didn't go to D.C. for a fundraiser.
Huh. By the way, and I was shocked because, look, we can talk about the state control of the police issue, too, but I was most surprised that Tashar was actually in the state testifying in Jeff City. Jane, how about that?
Jet lagged. Completely jet lagged.
But before we get to that, on this issue, look, we got a mayor's race coming up here. We have a city that, you know, we can mock it and make fun of it and all complain. But look, there's some real issues for this region and for this city. And I think a lot of people love the city and the community. And we'd like it to move forward. So the mayor's race, Jane, you think, and it might be a little too early to put this stamp on it, but you think this is going to cost
this
her this
her.
Race.
Yeah, I think this has a really good chance of killing her. And
I do, too.
And it should, because here's the thing. You know, I mean, nobody's perfect, and nobody expected the response to be perfect, but there was no self-awareness. There was snark. There was traveling. What it showed is that she doesn't really care about this. This is something that she feels like she has to do because of the election, just like it was giving the cops a minor raise, you know, covered by vacancies. You know, I mean, this is something she's doing for electoral politics, but she wants to transform. She doesn't care about the basics. Well, people, they want the basics from their government. And so, that's trash and snow plowing. I mean, this is basics. If you can't do this, no one believes you can do the rest of it.
I've been out door knocking. So I've been going around all parts of the city. So it wasn't just one part of the city. It's the entire city.
Yes.
And one thing that when I was door knocking, this person said to me was about the trash. They're like, go look in our alley. It is packed all the way up the walls of the buildings. And he said, he contacted the city and said, if you will just bring out the big dumpsters that they would put out, the kind they bring out and they put them out and they put leaves in them in the fall or when they're cutting down trees, and tell the citizens of the city of St. Louis that they can bring their trash there and put it in that bin, we will do it. I will do anything to get this trash. I'll take my neighbor's trash. Just get us somewhere to put the trash. And he said they wouldn't listen to him.
Wow.
That's a great idea. That was a great idea.
Yeah.
Why not? They
creative.
Have the dumpsters sitting around. That's the thing. Like, nobody sits around and says, gee, could there be a different way that we could, you know, I mean, this is not rocket science.
All right. But, John, do you think, you know, politically, and we can talk about what's going to happen here. I have some concerns just because I don't know if the other candidates are strong enough. But do you think this costs her the election?
Well, my question for the St. Louis City voters is, what's the downside of not reelecting her?
Seriously.
You know, what has she done?
There's no way you could do worse.
What can you point to in 4-year period that...
Right. She's black. Mm-hmm. And that's what she has.
Well, I mean, but we have another black candidate.
Well, right. Yeah. She's female. How about that?
Well, we have another female candidate.
We don't have another black female candidate, though.
No, we do not.
Okay.
We did
you
that.
Can debate, you know, what's gone on in city politics and crime and all that kind of stuff, but... as everyone's suggested, it's a basic city service. I mean, when you pay taxes, this is what you want your taxes to do.
Absolutely.
And in addition to protect you. And there's no downside in having her not be reelected. Quite frankly, she'll probably come back and run again if she loses. So maybe she'll be better the second time. But I don't get it. I don't get why city people would.
I really hope that city voters really come out and send a message. I mean, because, you know, I don't think the citizens deserve this government. I really don't.
They don't.
And
or we don't.
And so, you know, but it's incumbent on city residents to get out and vote and say, we're not putting up with this anymore.
But okay, it's not just the mayor's race. Everybody has to understand.
No, but
we have another
if you
race.
Come out, you hope that they come out for everything.
But we have other issues that are going to come to the surface if we keep the comptroller as is. And I'm only saying that because of the ARPA funds and what I have found. And I tell people, I said, we just need new change.
Yeah.
Well, all right, but let's segue here into what's going on with this RAM settlement money, too. And you can talk about the ARPA money, but this is
a
joke. It really is.
Sham.
Look, what I said the other day is, look, they're going to do a good job. They're going to waste every dollar of this. And they pretty much put it on paper saying
sprinkle,
we are.
We're going to give a little here. We're going to satisfy this nonprofit. We're going to satisfy this nonprofit.
Like, we're doing a pilot program for this. But we don't know if it's going to work, but we're going to spend millions of dollars.
There is no money to, like, keep the program going. So they have no business getting into early childhood education. They have no business getting into child care. They have no business getting into 90% of what this money is going to. They talk. You know how much money they've set aside for housing and have yet to build in the 4 years that she's been mayor? They've yet to, somebody came in for the tiny houses, which was the only positive thing I ever said about the mayor, were the tiny houses that they were doing for the homeless. I don't know why they're not replicating that like 50-fold. So there, millions are going to housing, but they have no plan for the where are the houses going to go? Are we just helping the rehabbers and we're going to rehab what we got? I mean, there's no plan for any of it.
So explain a little bit what happened this week. There were two different bills that were competing before the Board of Aldermen on the Rams. And they sort of combined those together.
Yes.
And they took money out of downtown. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they shuffled around for, you know, the social programs versus saving downtown.
So what upsets me is that, because I did early childhood advocacy, so I understand the ins and outs of child care. And I don't think they have done their homework, because what they'll realize is that that is a black hole. You're going to be putting money in it forever. And you should let other people who have successfully run these industries be in charge of these industries. But it's not something that
you can dabble in.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I mean, it's a joke because, one, the state has a program. I mean, there's all kinds of programs out there, and they're only giving it to city employees. So they're getting theirs. Like, the public is not even... The public doesn't even get to get the child care. So they're getting theirs again. Do you know how that looks to the citizens?
It looks awful.
It looks awful. Yeah.
So the other issue, wait, before I move on to the crime issue and control police, one thing that we forgot, and I accept responsibility for this. I'm remiss in my duties. Let's also point out that the mayor of St. Louis, Tashara Jones, gave herself a B-
for
handling the snow removal.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories of the week, and I almost forgot to mention.
That's the funny part.
And Jane, you just tweeted something out along those lines, didn't you? What did you say about the roundtable?
I gave us an A+ for the roundtable.
I think we're doing a fine job.
So I feel like we're all going to grade ourselves now.
What happened, Donna Behringer, in the legislature? She was there testifying on the state control of police issue. Where are we with that?
I was testifying.
You were testifying, but I was also talking about Mayor Jones was testifying. But where is that issue?
Well, it's moving faster than it's ever moved. We've already gotten a hearing in the Senate and the House. We had hearings. And, her testimony fell flat. I mean, I don't think she understands, like, her audience, you know, and what people, you know, think. I mean, there were a lot of things that were untrue. Like, everyone can have the crime data. No, you can't. I mean, one new senator walked him right into it and said, okay, so you're telling me I can go on the web right now and get all of the crime data so that I can verify? Yes, yes, yes. No. Then he pulled out, well, here's a screenshot from your website which says that you only have 6 months. And I said, well, it's really convenient that they only have 6 months because then nobody can ever test their numbers. We don't even know. They asked straight up, what numbers are you using? And it was just word salad. It was just a word salad of what. And I said, you know what? That's why nobody has any faith in your numbers. If you can't simply tell me what numbers you're relying upon and what data you're, then nobody can believe you. And everywhere is crime's going up. Oh, but she's got the magic bullet.
The topic of numbers, though, then how does this get resolved? Do they have the votes? There's going to be a hole. Like, Carla May is going to be the holdout. Is there enough power with the Democrats who are holdouts to kill the thing or not?
No, I don't think they can, because I'm not even sure there's enough Democrats that want to kill it. And it's the governor's number one priority.
It's a done deal.
I think her testifying actually helped.
Made it worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that actually, it pushed it the other way. Not in the direction
the
she
House,
wanted.
I have to give the House credit because, you know, even though she served in the House, these people, because of term limits, don't know her. And, you know, but she got asked the question, do you think that it, you know, undermines your ability to run this police department when you are out there protesting against the police?
Rhetorical question. Jane Duker, Donna Behringer, John Lamping, all on the panel. There's an update on the Dennis Hancock St. Louis County Councilman story, right? There was a nepotism charge, even a criminal charge that was filed in connection with that got dropped. There was an effort to remove Dennis Hancock, my councilman, from the council. That has now been resolved, Jane?
Yes. So I guess the prosecutor's office and the councilman spoke, and he said, obviously, I'm going to follow the nepotism laws, and I'll pay my own attorney's fees. And the new prosecutor is going to dismiss the case. And she's basically said, I will not allow my office to be used to settle political scores. Hmm. Hooray for Melissa.
There you go.
Way to go.
Does anyone else on the panel, I mean, Donna, you're a current state lawmaker, you're running for a comptroller, but I mean, if it doesn't work out, and I hope it does work out, but do you have witchcraft in your future like Kelly Dunaway does right now, member of the St. Louis County Council? Because that's her gig now, and maybe that's your future,
too. She was voting on countywide public policy and then has opened up legalwitchcraft.com, and she can give you some spells and rituals for yourself.
John, can she give us the score of the AFC Championship game this weekend? Because I'd kind of be interested in that, especially if the Chiefs are going to win. But that's crazy, nutty, kooky.
But that, you know, well, there you go. That's Sam Page's hand-picked successor.
It's demonic is what it is.
It's just insane.
All right, hang on. We got one more segment to go here on a Reardon Roundtable coming up. I can see you. All right, one more segment to go here on a Friday afternoon. We have on the panel our friend Jane Duker, State Rep Donna Behringer, and also former State Senator John Lamping. John, I'll start with you on this. You know, one of the big stories, I want to go back to some of the national politics and everything that's happened with the administration. And we even had some more news today on DEI, Target dropping their DEI initiatives. I mean, this stuff is blowing up. Now, look. I've been talking, you know this, I've been talking about this stuff for years now, and there's been a couple of guests, John Seiler in particular and others, that have really, really outed some of this stuff and have flipped universities, including my alma mater, the University of Missouri. But one of the things that's most amazing is, and I would recommend this to anyone, and I'm going to just point to some good journalism, even though it's in the New York Times, but the story that they did in November, I think it was, on the DEI program at the University of Michigan is just stunning. And I wanted to, and I did actually, not that she saw it, but I tweeted at Erin Burnett for CNN, because the questions that she was asking her guests about DEI made me feel that Erin doesn't know anything about DEI and what it's really about, because it's not something that is just about making it more equitable for people of races or colors to work at businesses or in government. It's much more sinister than that, and it's going to stop.
So Trump is branding his goings-ons as a common sense revolution. And I think this DEI, CRT, and he even went so far as to go after affirmative action. I think it's going to be a test to the extent that people consider these to be common sense things. Like, to allow DEI to exist, it's clearly racist. Like, I would suggest that affirmative action is clearly racist. And so he's taking the political chance by getting rid of all this stuff. Now, what's interesting to watch is that obviously he's got control directly over the federal government. So he's all of these people are getting fired, they're getting furloughed, they're pulling out. All those jobs are gone in all the federal agencies. Some of corporate America is following along. Costco said they're not, so that's fine. But what's going to be interesting to see is when they get to the universities. So when you look at the top 30 universities in this country and you look at who funds their research, it's mostly the federal government.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's where mm-hmm. – so what I'm reading and hearing, and it's a fact, is that they're not – if they have DEI at Harvard and at Michigan, they're not getting research dollars.
Well, I mean, it's not even DEI at Harvard. They have, like, rampant anti-Semitism going through their campus. And, it's like,
well, that's a different executive
order. It's true.
Order.
It is a different issue.
I think he can – withhold federal dollars – from an institution that systematically discriminates against Jewish people.
Right. So the first segment I talked about leverage, and this guy has got all the leverage, and he knows how to use leverage. And so this just started this week, and it's going to have a dramatic impact on these universities. And if I had to guess, I think you'll have, a handful of these institutions will stay the course. They've got,
Well, a lot have rolled back already, couple of years.
Oh, some of them aren't learning, though.
Some of them have, near $1 trillion or whatever, multi-billion dollar endowments. But you're talking billions of dollars a year that goes to fund research on all these major institutions. And he's going to hold them hostage. They've got DEI.
And what about Title IX? These campuses who've gone bonsai on these, look, every allegation of, rape and sexual mm-hmm. misconduct needs to be investigated. But the way that was stacked up and the way it's been stacked up in these universities now has been a horrible witch hunt, and it needs to get reined in. And here's the problem.
She's so close to being a Republican.
I know, I'm telling you. It does resonate with me when you say common sense. When you go way, way, way too far about something, and that's what's happened. It's just gone too far.
See, James,
and people are sick of it.
It's the first week, but I think what's happening here is, like, after Carter and Reagan and Bush, your party had recognized the fact that, it had run McGovern, had elected Carter. It was too far one way.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what Clinton did, and Clinton came to the center.
Back to the normal.
And I think we're in the first week I think that it will be probably an 8 or 12 year Republican reign of this common sense revolution. It's not just going to make so much sense, everybody. They're going to hold power, and the Democrats, they got plenty of time, but they're going to have to figure out a way to get back to the center. Or yes. Just be in the minority.
I agree. And it's funny because the radical left is like, oh, see, you know, if we'd only gone further to the left. I'm like, you just didn't
see,
get the memo.
That's the thing. You guys
didn't get the memo.
Most of the people we have here on the panel on the Democrat side are pretty much
crazy.
Common sense, right? You're not crazy. I'd even say that about you, Jenny. I mean, you're crazy in a different way, but not on the politics.
Lovable.
But look, the people getting the oxygen, certainly in the media, are still the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars and stuff like that. And they're rolling with the same stuff.
They are. And so the key is, you know, will the rest of the Democrats stand up and say, what do we really stand for? Are we standing for working people? You know, our traditional values.
Well,
you
this
know,
is where I think John Fetterman can play a big role there. I really can't. I
me
think
and John
he can.
Fetterman are very, very similar.
Well, John, I think you and John Fetterman are similar to a lot of Democrats. You just get overshadowed
by
all the nonsense.
We say it, but most people can't because they've been shouted down for years, and I just happen to not care.
So I address what we always leave out, which is people on fixed incomes, because we talk
about them.
Yeah, because everyone wants to retire at some point. And if you keep putting things in, you know, like we doubled the water bills in the city of St. Louis, and they have put aside what they can live on. And we're just keeping going after the people on fixed incomes and middle income. And I always
Amron's
go back
got
to that.
Another rate increase, like a significant 15% rate increase.
Trump wants to eliminate
Trump
wants to eliminate taxation of Social Security. So that's right at what you're talking about.
By the way, I love that. But again, you know what we're going to hear? Oh, more red ink. But taxing Social Security seems like such nonsense as someone that eventually will get Social Security.
As we get older.
I think it took me a long time to realize that happened. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, get older, it's a great idea.
Well, especially someone like you, you probably will never retire, just given your nature. You'll
work in radio, John.
But then,
you might be mistaken.
But then your Social Security, you get taxed at that higher rate.
Yeah,
so it's a disincentive to work. So, no, we're the front end of this revolution, and I couldn't be more happy for the country. I think common sense is how most people run their lives. And, you know, I think we definitely experienced peak woke during the Biden administration. No, we haven't talked about Biden yet. I mean,
what's funny is we haven't talked about Biden yet. Yeah. Like, I don't even think we mentioned his name. Yeah.
Well, my question is that what's the over under on when he actually gives a public address again?
Biden.
Why would he?
Why would he? Is a good question.
Yeah. The one thing that I caution, though, is everyone keeps talking about, get rid of taxes, is that's fine, but then what are you going to replace it with? And that's a huge thing for me.
John and I have this crazy idea. Less spending. That's what we need to do.
If it were that
spend
easy.
Less money.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see where
it goes. I'm not going
to
say it's easy.
It's not easy because, you know, everybody's got their programs, and I'm just telling you, it's... You know, as been in an executive branch, when during a budget crisis, like the people in Jeff City have no idea what it's like to not have money.
Neither does the city.
Exactly.
Well, this is where we've got transformative thinking going on. So another thing Trump did this week is he named the External Revenue Service. And, you know, he talked very explicitly about and they're the ones that are going to collect the revenue from tariffs. And I think there's three different occasions this week where Trump talked about 10% tariff on China, 25% tariff on Mexico. And Canada, he looks at
the 51st state you're referring to, 51st state of Canada.
Trump is looking at our trade imbalances. We have a huge trade imbalance with the rest of the world. And he's saying, look, you don't get to tap our markets anymore without a tariff. So you either bring your manufacturing here, produce your goods here, then you don't have a tariff. And by the way, I'm going to lower your corporate rate to the lowest in the world. But I think, you know, this country before the income tax, how did it fund itself? It funded itself on tariffs and land sales and fees. And that's how it funded itself. So I'm not saying that can replace the income tax, but we're going to create more revenue in that bucket than we ever have before.
But,
we never had that money before.
Let's have one idea that got floated today, and he's talked about it before, and I've already heard the legacy media reaction of horror. But he was in, you know, North Carolina with the Helene victims, and I'm sure that some of this will happen in California too, talking about getting rid of FEMA, sending this back to the states. Well, why shouldn't we at least have a conversation about that? Maybe FEMA's not that damn efficient, maybe we should do things differently. Let's debate that. Why would that be partisan? Let's get people the help that they need.
Let's talk about education. If you want to get rid of the Department of Education federally, which I don't think is a stupid conversation to have. I'm not sure I can get there, but at least it's worth talking about. Well, then that's fine, but then you don't get to make any of the rules either. Give all the money
to the states and let the states decide.
That's exactly right. And that's what's being proposed.
But they can't take the money and just leave them hanging.
Well, I don't know that anyone's really talking about that. I mean, some of the money and the purse strings need to be tightened.
Yeah, but
argument about that.
I mean, I'm higher ed. We got to just stop with the higher ed. I'm so fed up with higher ed.
I think our party,
we agree.
Trump is going to say, look, we'll give the FEMA dollars to go to the states. You guys deal with it. Don't give us a call if you screw it up. Same thing with education dollars. I think it's a big federal government doesn't like to fund the state that way. Just like Medicaid, we don't just want to give Medicaid to the states. We want to tell them how to spend it, how to run the program.
Give them a block grant. We do block grants all the time.
Well, the block grant idea that goes back to Paul Ryan trying to cut the budget, which is because what happens is you say, well, wait a second, how much money are you going to give us? We're going to give you $100 or $1 million, whatever the number is. That's all you're going to give us? Well, it's your money. Do whatever you want to do, you know? And
right. And
so the left thinks that block granting anything, getting rid of FEMA, getting rid of education, it means less money.
Well, it depends
and
on
it
how
really
much
means
you cut.
Less control.
You can't, you know, usually block grant did mean when they were going to block grant Medicaid, we knew it was going to be less dollars. But I think people can handle some less dollars if they don't have to comply with all nonsense that's very costly.
But it's worth talking about. When I was there, we had FEMA interaction that was flooding. I'm sure you had the same thing. And they were god awful to deal with. God awful money.
And you think if you just handed me the money, we could do so much better of a good job because we're closer on the ground. And here's the other thing. I mean, you know, the State Board of Education, if you don't let people start innovating with education, like, the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, St. Louis City's public schools are fine. Like, I don't want to hear that. They're not fine. Mm-hmm. Okay? They're in a deficit. And they are trying to defend the fact that they use credit cards to go to Hooters. And that's not okay. And so, I mean, but you have to let people innovate. And there's something has to be different. And I'm not saying I'm all for, I mean, we have to maintain public schools. We do. That's the only thing that saves a democracy. But, you know, why can't the public schools innovate? Why can't they do things differently? Why do they have to follow stupid rules that don't
matter?
Some
of us have been asking those questions for literally decades.
Honestly, we are.
And then we're always told that, you know, by the teachers union, we're just trying to undercut public education. All right, I've saved the best for last here this afternoon. There's a bubbling political story that needs attention this afternoon. Jane, I'll start with you. Is Barack Obama sleeping with Jennifer Aniston? Because that is the hot rumor right now.
Well, I heard that he was like totally laughing. This is where your people get cuckoo.
It's kind of taken on a life. You know, I don't like to spread rumors, but the rumor's already been spread.
You're saying it's true.
She was on a talk show last night, and the host, what's all left-wing stuff, asked her, well, are you dating Barack or are you dating Big Mike?
I mean, it's a joke. I mean, she's not dating Barack.
I come from where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't know if she and Barack are together, but maybe there is problems in the marriage. I mean, there's needs to be something here. Donna, you don't think so?
No, I'm not.
Everything's
at all.
Fine?
They really have a solid marriage.
Okay.
I don't know.
I would never believe that in a million years.
Let me tell you
how many times I've said you know who gets divorced? It's the couple that you least expect it. We've all had friends where that's happened.
Yes, but there's always warning signs. I'm very good at pegging.
Yeah, she ain't showing up with him on all the events. How about that warning sign?
Do you blame her? I wouldn't show up either.
She's like, I'm over you people.
Yeah,
right. I'm done with this.
I don't think it's true either, but I do like to spread a little gossip. It's juicy.
He's adorable. He's adorable.
Jane, you're going to hang out. Donna, good to see you. Thank you for pinch hitting for Gaskin John Lamping. Great to see you.
See you.
And we will do it again.
Get more at 971talk.com.